All right, gevach everybody. It's a schuss to be back here in the Schreier home, and I want to always thank the Schreiers, thank Eliza for what she does in the whole mishpacha. Meir Hashem, all the Torah, all the chizik, all the Torah should be a big schuss for only simcha and only bracha. Schuss also to be together on a very cold night. You know, I was thinking about it on the drive here, getting into my car. I didn't throw in a coat because I was afraid I'll just forget it somewhere. I have a few places I'm going tonight, so I figured I'm definitely going to leave it somewhere if I take a coat, so I just left it at home. And it's pretty cold tonight, but the Torah is compared to fire. And the pasuk says, "Halo kedivrei esh lo mashem." The Torah is compared to fire. The Torah could warm us up. It's a beautiful idea. Why is it the Torah is compared to fire, by the way, before we learn Torah together? There are a lot of forces in nature. There are a lot of very powerful forces in nature. Water is a very powerful force of nature. A lot of us remember, it's already a few years ago, but Hurricane Sandy and how the water of Hurricane Sandy affected our community in a terrible way. Mamish in a terrible way. And wind can be something that's very, very fierce and strong and destructive, as can fire be. Fire is different than every other force in the following way. So if water comes and floods your basement, Lolaini, you don't want to know from that, it's not so fun. Or a big fierce wind knocks down a tree and knocks into your house, or whatever it might be. So there's going to be tremendous damage. But your basement doesn't become water and your house doesn't become wind. When fire engulfs something, when fire destroys something, not only does it destroy it, it turns that entity into fire. The entire entity becomes fire. So to Aloki Divreishn of Hashem, Lahavdil Bikdusha, is that when we learn Torah, the Torah is transformative. It's not just a force that's hitting us and we're learning and some nice ideas and gaining some wisdom. We could come in tonight, one person, have the schus to learn Torah together, and walk out a completely different person. Halo kedivreishn of Hashem. That's what the Torah can do for us. It doesn't just warm us up. It literally can change us. Bez Hashem Zbarach. So let's have the schus to learn together. You know, we're not the Rishon. We spoke about that at length last week. And to some that's somewhat depressing. Because it means we have to wait that much longer for the Halakha Yontov of Purim. If it wasn't that we had two Adars, if there was only one Adar like most years, already next week would be Purim. We'd be really in the spirit. We'd be excited. We'd be planning. Now Purim's not for another 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks. Purim's... But at the same time, we have to flip that thought. And we have to understand that gives us a lot of opportunity to prepare. A lot more opportunity to prepare. You know, the pasuk in the Megillah says, "Vayas Hamelech Kedvar Mamuchan," right all the way at the beginning. Mamuchan, we know, is Haman, and Haman gave the advice to kill Vashti. Vayas Hamelech Pashupshat. The Melech Achashverosh did like Mamuchan said, right? Vayas Hamelech Kedvar Mamuchan. But we could understand every time in the Megillah it says Hamelech. We know on a deeper level it's talking about Melech Malchei Hamlachim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayasad Melech Kedvar Mamuchan also means Hachana. Mamuchan is Lashon preparation. To do Hachana is to prepare for something. Vayasad Melech Kedvar Mamuchan means dependent on our preparation is how much inspiration we're going to gain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that time period, in that Yontif. So when it comes to a Halakha Yontif of Purim, like it's a one day Yontif, you don't just go in and you'll have fun and enjoy. But if you want to really gain from the greatness and the godless and the shefa of the day, you have to prepare before it. And that's true for every day that's special, that's holy. It's true for every Shabbos Kodesh. It's true for every Yontif. You have to prepare. And not just prepare physically. Not just prepare physically to figure out and think about what costume you're going to wear and to think about the Chveis Neshir Purim Sudo, whatever it might be. B'machshava, to understand the godless of the day. And you know, this parsha is Tisaveh. And usually Parsha Tisaveh would be Parsha Zachar, would be the Shabbos before Purim. So there has to be a very deep connection between Parsha Tisaveh, this upcoming week's parsha, and Purim. And right here tonight, we're going to start preparing a little bit. We'll talk in Yonim that are Shayach also not to Purim. They'd be really Shayach to any day of our lives. But I think also a way of starting to prepare for Purim, Bez Hashem is Baruch. So what's the focus of Parsha Tetzaveh, this upcoming week's Parsha? Which again, any other year would be right before Purim. The focus is the Big Day Kahuna. The focus are the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohanim, the Kohen Hedyot, the simple Kohen, the Kohen Gadol. All the beautiful garments that the Kohanim would wear in Beit HaMikdash. And I know a lot of us sitting here are thinking like, what does that do for me? Like really? Even this week's Parsha, Teruma. You have to look for a lot of depth. Because unfortunately right now we don't have Beit HaMikdash. Unfortunately right now we don't have the schus to walk into Beit HaMikdash and see these Kalim, see a menorah, a mizbeach, a shulchan with the lechem upon him. And then to read about and learn, I don't know how many of you went through the parsha, you don't have to raise your hands, don't worry. But to read about all the measurements and all the intricate details, it's a little bit, it's really like one of these parshas who say like, what's this do for me? Like I'm trying to learn Torah to talk to me, to inspire me, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that Torah. This seems like it's nice, it's, and on a simple level, hopefully we learn about it. It creates a she'ifus, a yearning for Mashiach that we should have more of. And realize, Bez Hashem, we're going to have Beis HaMikdash, hopefully Bekarov. There are people who really live with that thought. There are people who really live with that thought. I said this over Thursday night in a different shir, but a few years ago, this was four summers ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael with my family. No. Was it 4 summers ago or 2 summers ago? I said in the story, it was 4 summers ago. But it wasn't, I think we'll tell the correct version. I think this story happened 2 years ago when I was there for my daughter's bat mitzvah. Alright, whenever it happened, trust me, it's a true story. But I don't remember when it happened. Lemaisa, it made, I don't know, one of the years, I was there at the end of the summer, and it was a year when Elul was very early already, and I was in Eretz Yisrael when Elul began. End of August, Elul began. And Yeshiva Chalavim, the Hezda Yeshiva Chalavim, so they start Elul right away, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So all my Talmidim, they were starting Shana Aleph, and the guys were coming back for second year, they were already in Eretz Yisrael in Yeshiva. And the Rav Waxman, the Mashkiach, who I'm very close to, a very special Yid, so he asked me if I'd meet the Yeshiva, they were going to go for the first time to the Kaisel, take all the guys the first year to the Kaisel, it was I think the second day they were there, if I'd meet them there and share some words of Chizik. So I met them at the Kaisel, and we were inside by the Kaisel. I assume none of you as women were inside the men's part of it. Maybe when you're a little girl, you remember. I don't know, Chmisnes, you know? But there's a, you know, I think the women, you have like this small little inside, like a tiny little inside. Like we have this massive inside. Although now the women could go behind and go, I don't know if you've ever been, look, maybe you've been, there's a women's section, you can look, overlook the inside of the men's. Some of you have been there. I'm sure some of you have been there. Anyways, Lamaisa. So it was all the way inside, and I gave a schmooze for maybe about 10 minutes. Spoke to the guys. You know how it is when you speak at the Kaisel, so a lot of other people listen in. A lot of people, other people join. And I still remember this like yesterday. There's one Yid that's watching and listening. And he comes over to me after me to talk to me about the Chizik and he had very beautiful words of Akar Satov and then to talk about some of the ideas. So we start schmoozing. Remember like yesterday, he was wearing a t-shirt. It was from a U2 concert that were on tour that summer. I happened to have gone to a show myself, so we were talking the shows and what they're saying. You know, we were, again, you got to make conversation. The guy was a nice guy. Ended up being, he was from Australia, and he stopped. So we're talking. I asked him, "What are you doing here? What are you meaning? Not that you need a reason to be in Eretz Yisrael. If it's just to be in Eretz Yisrael, that's a good reason. But any particular reason you're here?" So he tells me he's an architect. He was involved in the architectural work of many of these big buildings in Australia. He starts telling me, he says he came to Eretz Yisrael and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He got involved with Machon HaMikdash. I'm sure many of you have visited Machon HaMikdash, which is an institute that's building the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And they have a Kior that they've built, and a Mizbeach, and all different types of beautiful. It's an amazing, whether you believe or not, we're going to use these Kalim. It's incredible just to see with your own eyes the big Dikhuna. They are the ones who made the menorah that we know that's in the old city, that they keep on, you know, they keep on moving the spot. Right now it's in the middle of the Rova. So he said he was in touch with them, and he got in touch to start working with them. That he wants to be the architect of the Beis HaMikdash. That he says, he has Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Atana, this is what his expertise is in. And he's been, Baruch Hashem, successful financially with this Matana from Hashem, with this profession. He says, how can I not use this for Kedusha? He came to Eretz Yisrael to be the architect of the Beis HaMikdash. Bamish is true. And he pulls out his phone, he starts showing me on his phone all these diagrams, and he told me how he learned through the sugya in Chazal and already in Halacha, and he learned through exactly what the dimensions of every little room and every little part, and he already had made up on his phone, showing me all these diagrams, all this architectural work, the blueprints of Bayis Shlishi. Mamish. Again, I don't know if we're going to use his blueprints or not. Maybe. I asked him if his name was Bezalel. It wasn't, but okay, listen, it's all good. So there are those who think they're building Beis HaMikdash and trying. That institute also has made the Big Day Kahuna, and they've sized up Kohanim, and there are Kohanim who have Big Day Kahuna ready to go. Mamish ready to go. There are people who really believe every day Mashiach's coming. Mashiach's coming. There are people who live with that thought. Like, for real. Like, we talk about it, and we daven, and once in a while, like, we really believe it, or want it. There are people who live every moment with it. My father is a very big tzaddik, very special person. He had made up a very beautiful, intricate bekisha. He wears a bekisha on Shabbos as well. And he had made up in Yerushalayim this mamish gorgeous bekisha that he has hanging in his closet that he won't wear. He's waiting to wear this bekisha to greet Mashiach. He has in his closet, my father. He says, how could I not have a special beged miyuchad that I'm going to greet Mashiach in? So he has a special bekisha that he has in his closet ready to greet Mashiach. So you read these parashios, first and foremost, before anything else, is just a little bit of a kick, a little bit of a chizik, to remind us we should be yearning for geula. And we all need geula. Because we have to remember the geula shlema is not just Kohanim serving Beis HaMikdash and Shechina and Tchis HaMeisim. It's like, it's geula, refuah, yeshua for all that we're yearning for as well. Like, we should really want that. And these parashas remind us of that. But I'll tell you as well, there's so much we could be learning from these parashas. All of Torah is nitzchias. Every word of Torah is for every generation and for every person that graces this earth. And this parasha, this upcoming parasha by Tzadah, with the intricate details of the Big Day Kahuna, you're thinking, I'm a woman, I'm not a Bas Kohen, I'm not like, what is this going to do for me? No. It's talking to each and every one of us. And we have to look for the depth within the parasha. And first and foremost is the following. First and foremost is just the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, should have photocopied this for everybody. Maybe we'll take a picture and send it on the WhatsApp chats. It's easier. The Sefer HaChinuch is a Sefer, but it was written, we're not sure who wrote it actually, it's written by Rishon. It compiles all 613 mitzvot in order of the parashios. So it goes through mitzvah tzadi test, the 99th mitzvah in the Torah, is mitzvah levishas bigdei akohanim. The mitzvah of wearing kohanim, wearing their bigdei kahuna, the garments of the kohen. And in every mitzvah, what's very beautiful, he doesn't just go through the details of the mitzvah, what the mitzvah is, and the halachos of the mitzvah. He goes through the shoresh ha-mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, the tam, the purpose of the mitzvah. And that's such chizik to each and every one of us. Sometimes we're lacking that. Now we have to keep kol atar kula because it's emes and from Hashem, whether we understand or we don't understand. But to add a little bit of meaning and understanding always allows us to really connect and be mechazik ourselves and to be able to perform the mitzvah with a lot more hislavus, a lot more passion, because it's meaningful to us, right? Now we have to also remember, as Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch taught us, anytime you understand the reason of the mitzvah, it's also only a tam. Tam is not just reason, but tam ha-mitzvah is a taste. When you taste something, it's only a small taste. You're not eating the whole thing. Whatever we understand in entire mitzvahs, is only a drop, a tipa bayam. Which tells us, by the way, if you think you understand and it doesn't apply to you, you only understand a drop of it. There's so much more. Don't start to rationalize within yourself when it comes to entire mitzvahs. But let's read the Shoresh HaMitzvah of Big Day Kuno, because I think it's so important for each and every one of us. Sefer Chinuch says as follows, HaYisod HaKavua Lanu, the Yisod, the foundation that's set permanent for us. And this is, the next line is an idea, if you've learned Sefer Chinuch, and if you've heard Shiurim on Sefer Chinuch, you've heard this, he says this over many halachos,
Ki ha'adam nifal lefi pu'ulosav. Va'achreya machshavosav v'kavonosav. It's a very psychological idea. Emes shbamito. Listen closely. If you've never learned this before, if you just learned this tonight, it was well worth coming. That a person nifal lefi pu'ulosav. She will act according to their actions. Well, we'll explain what this means in a moment. You'll act according to your actions, and you'll follow those actions. What will follow those actions? What will follow suit? How will you be machshavosav v'kavanosav? Your thoughts and your mindset will be influenced and changed based on your actions. Our actions and how we act change who we are. Change how we think. And therefore, let's just read the paragraph and then we'll explain. Therefore he says, Vashliach HaMechaper, the Kohen who's the Shliach, the messenger of each and every one of us, who's trying to bring atonement for Klal Yisrael, Tzarech Lahatbis Kol Machshavto V'Kavanos Al Avoda. He needs to try to grab and connect all his mindset and all his Kavanos to his service, right? Can imagine what it's going to be, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, this is supposed to be a Kohen. It's supposed to be a Kohen. I can't wait to be serving in Beis HaMikdash. You know what it'll be to serve in Beis HaMikdash? So I'm hoping when I'm going to serve in Beis HaMikdash, it's not just going to be, I serve in Beis HaMikdash, just do what I'm supposed to do. You know what type of hachana, preparation, you know what type of mindset hopefully every Kohen is going to have when bringing karbanos, makrav karbanos, when lighting a menorah, when putting the lechem upon him on the shulchan, be makdir k'tayres. I mean, this kavanas one's going to have, because this is bringing out a lot of depth for Klal Yisrael, a lot of atonement for Klal Yisrael. So that kohen has to put himself b'shlemus in that mitzvah, have a sense of complete oneness in the mitzvah. Al kain, therefore, roilis labish begadim yichadim ilah. It's befitting to wear special clothing for this. So that when he looks at any place on his body, he'll immediately be inspired and remember who he's serving. And he says this is similar to what it is to wear tefillin. And you look at your tefillin, you're reminded what your mind should be like, what your heart should be like. But a kohen needs a lot more than that when you're serving in Beis HaMikdash. You hear what the Heilige Sefer Chinuch is saying. The Sefer Chinuch is teaching us something fundamental in our lives. That our clothing has a tremendous effect on who we are. Our clothing has a tremendous effect on how we think. Our clothing has a tremendous effect on how we act. Most people think our clothing is an announcement to the outside world what we want them to think about us. Right? That's how most people think. If you ask someone, why do people dress in a particular fashion? Why are people dressing in a particular fashion? So one, why is someone, now again, lahalacha, obviously everyone, we know hilchasnius, and we're supposed to try our best to dress in a modest way, but why are we wearing, forgetting about that for a moment, although that's a big part of this, of course. But not just snius, whatever we choose to wear, everybody has in this room their own style, their own way of dressing, what they like, what they don't like. And why is one dressing in a particular way? Because of the way you want someone else to perceive you. They're the ones going to be looking at you. And you want them to think about you in a particular way. Right? That's how most people, I think, would think. Definitely, that's what's given over in the secular world. There's no question. You know, if you're a movie star, you got to dress in a particular way, and you go on to the Oscars, you got to dress in a particular way, and you go on... Whatever it might be, but that's what you're giving over to the world, how they're perceiving you. Come, Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, Pumfa Keret. It's just the opposite. That we have to understand that the way we dress deeply affects who we are, how we think. And Vada, as a young woman, that starts with Tznius. Vada that starts with Tznius. When I dress Lefi Torah, Lefi Derech HaTorah, Lefi the Halachos of the Torah, and I dress B'Tznius because I know that the Rebbein Shalom wants me, I'm not just going to dress B'Tznius. It will affect that I'm going to act B'Tznius. B'Hatznei Aleches doesn't just mean in wearing long sleeves and long skirts and a neckline. B'Hatznei Aleches is a whole entire way of life, B'Tznius, in a modest way of life. And my clothing is not just my clothing for that halacha, it will affect how I go about my life. In what is important in my dress, and we have to think, am I trying just to impress others? Am I trying to be mekadesh myself? Now again, by the way, don't get me wrong. I want to make it very clear. I'm totally into it, and I think it's totally very, very important that a young woman should dress in a style that she's comfortable in and feel that she looks nice in what she's dressing and you know, with the times, whatever that means, and to give over a nice look to others in the sense of, but obviously b'derech Torah mitzvahs, obviously with tremendous tznius, but also one has to ask themselves, you know, when it comes to, for example, brand names, and it comes to certain just ways of dress, that again, not that there might be nothing wrong with wearing that if you happen to like how it looks and you think it's something that gives over the impression you're trying to give over and will have a good effect on you. But stop for a moment and think, if I'm only wearing this to impress others and to make others think of me in a particular way, then I'm probably going to live up to that particular way, whatever that means. And you have to stop and think and catch yourself. Is that who I want to be? Because my dress is on some level not just going to define me towards others. It's going to have an effect on me with who I am. And that's something very important. You know, let me explain. I read this recently. When you want to talk about things and be mechazik in areas, so it brings you different things, different ways to bring out these points. I read this in a study. There may be a sneaky side effect of wearing knockoffs, right? Fakes. You know, chvestis. You could go and buy these days. You buy a black coat. You go online, and you go and they have every single patch you could think of for $1.99. So you buy it, and you go and you put it on the side, and the whole world thinks you're wearing a certain brand, but you know it's not. You know you're completely trying to fake out the world. You know it's completely sheker, right? Completely sheker. Chvestish is a whole is millions and millions and millions of dollars industry in sunglasses and in bags, right? Chvestish, fake, I don't know. I don't think they make real Louis Vuittons anymore because there's a million fake ones. Why would you have a real one? Anyways, Lamaisa, you know what I'm saying, right? So listen to what it says. There might be a sneaky side effect of wearing knockoffs. According to a Harvard study published in Psychological Science, researchers gave people fancy new sunglasses, telling half of a group they were designer, while the other half was told they were counterfeit. Okay, so they're all wearing Prada. But half are actually told they're wearing Prada, and half are saying these are fake Prada. You know, it's like FRADA. You know how it goes, right? Anyways, those wearing the knockoffs were more likely to cheat during a subsequent game and expressed more suspicion of other players. Wearing fake clothing, it turns out, may make you feel like a fake and may make you assume others are also being fake. You hear this? Not a Torah source. They understand as well. But we know it from the Sefer Chinuch already. We know it from the Big Day Kuna. We are how we dress. It has a tremendous effect on who we are. I'll tell you a story. I was preparing this, just thought it. Maybe I should have asked him if I could tell the story, but it's a close friend. I think he'd be okay with it. The Chevrol has probably in their life been inspired and heard Charlie Harari speak at some point in your life. Charlie's an old friend. We lived next to each other for
our first few years married. Both of our older kids are born literally 10 days apart. Our oldest are Bechoras, Shmuel and Moshe, Shmuel Yaakov and Moshe Gavriel. Anyways, Lemaisa, I still remember years ago, we were living in Kew Garden Hills, and this is way before any of you knew Charlie Harari, this is way before he was speaking. Originally, Charlie, and I don't think he does any more law work, but originally he went to law school, and he became a lawyer. That's what, you know, he was going to go. And now we all knew that at some point he'd be involved in work for the Klal as well, because he had so many kochos, but who knows where that would be at this point. He went into law. He was an attorney. And I remember one day I saw him, walking on the street, Chveis Nisran Jewel Avenue in Kew Garden Hills. And he's walking, it was like a random day, and he's wearing a whole suit and tie. And I said, Charles, what's going on? You have a simcha today? You have a bris? You have a chasana? Why are you wearing? He said, no, I decided I'm starting to wear a suit every day. I'm going to wear a suit and tie every day. So I said to him, Charlie, in your firm, that's how they dress. So he told me, in my firm, everybody dresses not, it's dressed down. Everybody dresses just button-down shirts and, you know, regular clothing. But all of the partners, the heads of the firm, the partners in the law firm, like the big guns, the ones who are really successful, they all wear suits every day. So I decided that I want a Bez Hashem. If I'm in this to be successful. I'm in this to make it. You got to dress the part to become successful. So I decided I'm going to start wearing a suit every day. Those of you who know Charlie Harari a little bit know he's a pretty successful individual. But he understood what it is. He understood the message of the Big Day Kahuna. Because he's going to be a different person and a different lawyer if he dresses in that way. You're going to dress like a partner. You'll start to act like a partner. You'll become a partner. You dress like a Bas Torah. You'll act like a Bas Torah. You'll become a Bas Torah. Our dress has a tremendous effect on who we are. And we have to believe that. And that's the lesson of the Big Day Kahuna. And I'll tell you one step further. I'll tell you what I believe on Purim. So you said we have to do a little hachana for Purim, right? We started out this year like that, so we have to talk about Purim a little bit tonight. So how does this whole work into Purim? How does this idea work into Purim? Purim, we know, Minag Yisrael, and by the way, it's brought down already in the Ramah. This is not something like made up from Halloween. Minag Yisrael is to wear costumes. By the way, if you're not wearing costumes, the other proper way to dress on Purim is in Big Day Shabbos. You should dress either Big Day Shabbos or a costume. Those are your two choices. You shouldn't be dressing Big Day Chol on Purim. That's the proper way to do it. Purim's a Yontav. Purim has a din of Yontav, and it's brought down Halacha. You're supposed to wear Big Day Shabbos. It's also brought down Halacha, the Minag, to wear costumes. Both could be very appropriate. I always feel to go to Megillah leaning already, you should wear Big Day Shabbos. You go into Shul, you're hearing the Megillah, Kedusha, and then the rest of the day you're dressing in costume. To dress Big Day Chol, again, think about it. If what we're saying is tonight, so you wear Big Day Chol, you're going to feel like it's a regular day. You're going to act like it's a regular day. You're not going to connect to Purim. You're supposed to wear either Big Day Shabbos or a costume on Purim. Thus is Emes. So why do we wear costumes on Purim? So obviously one idea, which we're not going to talk about tonight, and you've all heard about before, is so much of Purim works into the theme of Purim, which is the hidden nature of the Rabbeinu Shalom and the whole story of Purim. And a costume, again, reminds us of that hidden nature, right? Seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more than meets the eye. It's a costume. On a very simple level, it just brings out simcha, brings out fun. When you dress up and you're having a good time, supposed to have simchas purim, but there's something to that as well. That could be as simple as just having a good time. But I always thought it's a lot deeper. I'll tell you what I believe. Do you know what Purim is all about? You know what Purim is all about? And this is the beginning. This is Achana right here. You ready? Because it takes time to be able to live Purim like what I'm about to say. Purim is all about getting down to your deepest pnimius. Your deepest inside and being true to yourself in the most real of ways. You know, all year long, it's so hard to be real. It's so hard even to know if you're being real. Because we put on costumes for other people, faces. for certain friends that we're with, I'm going to act in one way. I'm with a different group of friends, I'm acting with a different way. I'm home for Shabbos with my parents, suddenly I'm talking and acting a different way. We put on different faces, different costumes for all the people we're with. And sometimes I forget, I don't even know who I really am. Who's the real me? Who's the real me? And all of Purim is really, if it's to get down and find which is hidden within, it's really to get down and find what's hidden within yourself. Who you really are. I'm not going to get into the halachic discussion of it right now. Maybe for another time. Maybe we should, but... But the whole entire mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim, and there are different opinions, and I'm not getting into the discussions about it, but just according to the opinion that you're supposed to get drunk on Purim, which is not so simple for women as much as for men. Again, I don't want to get into the whole halachic discussion, it will take too long. But according to that opinion that you should get drunk on Purim, which is the opinion of the Mechaber, which is an explicit Gemara as well, what's that all about? It's if you get drunk in a proper way, with the proper environment, with the proper machshavos, the Gemara tells us, nichnas yayin v'yatza sod. You know what one can do? One's able to get down to the innermost feelings and find out who they really are. And not hold back and have that wall that we sometimes put up and we're afraid to really be ourselves. So when a person gets drunk, they drop all that and lose all that and are just completely themselves. Now some people, that's scary because themselves, they don't get to the deepest depth and they get to a place which is not so good, which is a lot of darkness that they have inside them if they're involved in areas of tumah, chas v'sholom lo aleinu. But those who do it b'kedusha v'tahara and have that within them, they get mamish to places of panemias and in touch with their neshama. It's like kulo neshama. And whether you're going to do it through drinking or through other ways, that's the yesod of Purim. To get down to your deepest depth of who you really are. So now why is that? How's that going to be manifested in our costumes? Because it sounds... Let's explain that, because it sounds counterintuitive to everything we just described. Because if you're going to put on echves nishta... I don't know, you're going to put on a gorilla costume, so that's going to inspire you to be inside a gorilla? Obviously not, right? That doesn't seem like the point of Purim, and what's going on? How does this all work together? Right, how does that all work together? You're going to dress up, whatever that costume is, you dress up like a clown, so I want to be a clown, that's who I want to be, that's my panemius. Nothing wrong with dressing up as a clown, there's nothing wrong with dressing up as a gorilla. I don't know what you guys have in mind for this year yet, if you've thought about this year, but... So I think it's like this. On Purim, it's just the opposite, meaning like this. On Purim, you're understanding that all year long, I'm not being myself on the outside. Because my face is a facade. By the way, that the word face comes from the root facade. The word face comes from the Latin word facade. In fact, facade, if you say face with a hard C... If you said it with artsy, it's fake. A facade is fake. My face is so fake. It's not who I really am inside. On Purim, you know what I do? I put on a costume. Why do I put on a costume? To remind myself, remind the world, that then I know for sure that's not who I am. So let me try to find who I really am. Let me look inside, because now, for today I know, on the outside it's not real. I know I'm not a gorilla. I know I'm not a clown. I know I'm not some Disney princess. Maybe I'd like to be, but I'm not. You know? That I know I'm not. So then I could find, on Purim one day a year, we dress in a way, so it's so clear to me that's not going to be who I am. So now I could try to find out and look pepnimios, who I really am. And find that inner me. But the rest of the year, I realize that the way I dress is going to affect who I am. The rest of the year... I'm trying to personify myself in a particular way, and that has an effect on who I am. So let's make sure, Bez Hashem is Baruch, that each and every one of us is dressing in a way that I want to live up to, and realize that it affects me, and it's something very, very real. But let's talk about one other idea. Because if the Big Day Kahuna teach me about the essence of life, and essence of who I'm going to be, within the Beganim themselves, there's a lot of lessons.
So we just spoke about learning from the Shoresh HaMitzvah, what it means to the way I dress. But I want to switch over for a moment and learn from the Begadim themselves. What can we learn from the Begadim themselves? If all we needed to learn was this lesson, which is that important, it could have just told us there are big dikuna. It didn't have to go through all the intricate details of the big dikuna. So probably the holiest of big dikuna we all know about. If I asked anyone in this room, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but what's the holiest of big dikuna? And what's the most chash of a big dikuna? The choshem. The breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which was the Urim V'Tumim, which we know magically would light up and give answers and tell, and it was the way that Rabbanu Shalom really spoke to Klal Yisrael, and incredible. And we know, and it's Beferish a Pasuk, the Pasuk in Perach of Ches, Pasuk of Aleph, V'Avonim Tiyena Al Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Shtei Mesri Al Shemosam. That on these Urim Tuvim, on these stones, on these gemstones, were the names of the Shvatim, were the names of the 12 Shvatim. And that's how, by lighting up, you'd see these letters, which were the different letters were on different stones, and you'd be able, the Kohen Gadol would be able to figure out what Hashem was telling us, right? But listen to this Gemara. The Gemara asks the following. All the letters, you go through the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, right? You go through all the letters of the Aleph Beis are there. However, there's a problem. It's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin, Gimel, and Beis. V'aloksiv Tess. It doesn't have the letter Tess. So you go through all the Shvatim, there's no Tess. What if Hashem needs to give a word over with Tess, and all the Aleph Beis should be there? Why is Tess left off the Choshen? V'aloksiv Tess. Don't worry, Amar V'achar by Yaakov. I'm sorry, let's go back a line before we get there. We'll answer that in a moment. We're going to read that, but 1 minute. Go back a line in the Gemara. First it asks, and this is important to say it this way, V'aloksiv tzadi. V'aloksiv tzadi. There's no letter tzadi in the Shvatim. The low letter tzadi. Amar of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, ksiv sham. Don't worry, because also, besides the Shvatim, the Avos, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are also there. Yitzchak has a tzadi. So we have the letter Tzadi. We're good. Then the Gemara says, Valoksiv Tess. One other letter is not in the Shvatim, the Tess. Amar V'achar B'Yaakov, Shifte Yeshurin, Ksiv Sham. Shifte Yeshurin. Shifte Yeshurin was also written there. The tribes of Yeshurin. So you have Shifte Tess. You have a Tess. Those words were also there. So besides for the Shvatim, obviously Yaakov and Shifte Yeshurin, now you have both the Tzadi and the Tess. What's strange in this Gemara? It asks, why was there no Tzadi? It gives an answer, obviously Yaakov, why was there no Tess? Shifte Yeshurin. Everyone in this room knows the Aleph Beis, right? Should we test you? Everyone knows the Aleph Beis. And you all know that what comes first, the Tzadi or a Tess? The Tess. So you have to wonder, why is the Gemara asking, but there's no Tzadi before there's no Tess? Shouldn't it ask there's no Tess first, and then no Tzadi first, then no Tzadi? Oh. Chassam Sofer explains, is actually two Medrashim. Because the Pasuk that we read is written very strangely. It says, V'avonim tiyena al shmos b'nei Yisrael. If I read that, and translated it the way it's written, the stones were on the names of Bnei Yisrael. Shouldn't it say, Vashemos Bnei Yisrael al Havonim? The names were on the stones? What do you mean the stones were on the names? So the Medrash says, Vavonim were on the names. It's in this order to teach us. One Medrash says, the names of the stones themselves were on there also. I mean, the Hebrew word for emerald and ruby and whatever the was also there. Another medrash says Vavonim spell is stands for Av Ben. Av Ben, father son is Evan, right? That's why there's a minog. Unfortunately, you have to go visit a kever. You visit a kever. What's a minog Yisrael? What do? We take a stone and we put it there. A stone is an Evan. Evan represents the next generation. Av Ben, within Av Beis Nun is Evan.
We put a stone to show that the next generation is continuing to give a little chizik. But Lameisa, another idea, Av Ben, meaning that the Medrash is saying the names of all the Avos. The Av was there as well. The Avonim was on it as well. Chassam Sofer says, therefore, the Gemara first started with the Medrash of the stones. One of the stones' names was Pitta, Pei Tez Dalet Aleph, I believe. That has a test. So first the Gemara thought, we know that the names of the stones were there. They only didn't know of the Tzadi. But then when they said, no, Av and Yaakov were there, maybe the Medrash that says Avon means Av Ben is correct. Not the Medrash, the name of the stones. So then where's the Tzadi? Shifta Yeshurun was there. Seemingly the Gemara is therefore going with that Medrash. That's what the Chacham Sofer says. But let's learn together and understand something deep from this Pasuk. Because what does it mean in just Pashup Shad in the Pasuk? Forgetting about that Medrash and what we just explained. Why is it written, Va'avonim tien al shmos b'nei Yisrael? The stones were on the names. We all envision the names were inscribed on top of the stones. Comes the Maral Diskin, and listen closely, Chevra. Something we look at this lesson we're going to learn from the Halig HaChoshen, which none of you are ever going to wear. None of you are going to ever wear the Choshen. But there's so much to learn from the Choshen. And we see in the Pasuk, it says that the stones were on the names. Comes the Maral Diskin, listen closely to this, even if you lost me with the Chassam Sofer a little, don't worry. We're coming back now, watch. Vavonim al shmos b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean that the stones were on the names? Maral Diskin says, you know what it means on the Choshen? That the names were actually written underneath the stones. The Pasuk's teaching me, not like what we think, that they were inscribed on top. The names, all the names of B'nai Yisrael, Avraham, Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, all the names were on the Choshen itself, and then the stones were placed on top of them, and then when the stones would light up, you'd be able to see through the stones clearly the names on the bottom and the letters that they needed to see for the Urim B'tumim. But the stones were actually on top of the names, which seems to be pshat in the Pasuk. What does that teach each and every one of us? Listen closely, Chavra. What does that teach us? Why do we need to know that? Why does it matter? They're hidden. They're hidden. It's true also. What can we learn from this in a deep way? So listen closely. I saw from the Likutei Torah of the Baal HaTanya, the Heilige Baal HaTanya of Shneur Zalman of Liadi. He says, you know, when you talk about kings, and the kings had their treasury and they had their crowns, the most chashuv item that they always owned were the crown jewels. On their crown, the special jewel, their jewels that they had. We don't talk about their gold and their silver. We talk about their jewels. And he said, maybe one reason is not just because they're so expensive, but a jewel was originally a stone. And when that stone was in the mine, when that stone was in the ground, it looked like any other stone. It was dirty. It wasn't yet shined. It wasn't yet carved. In Mamish, a lot of these stones and diamonds and these things, they look Mamish like a stone if you didn't know better. But then somebody who understands, a Bucky, an expert, he's able to take and mine that stone, carve the stone, and polish the stone until it's shining this beautiful gem. A king's godless is not just having special things. A king who's on top of the world, a king understands I could take anything and make it beautiful. I could take anything and turn it into a state of beauty. And that's much way more chashuv than having something that starts out beautiful. That's way more chashuv. And listen, Chavra, what we're saying. You know, a lot of times in life, we feel that each and every one of us, we feel like we have a stone on top of us. What does that mean, we have a stone on top of us? Meaning we all have a lev, we have a heart, that at times in our life feels so close to Hashem, and feels like we understand and see what Hashem is doing for us, and we understand kol ma'adav rechaman al ta'avavir. And there's sometimes when we feel like it's a stone weighing us down. I'm not feeling close to Hashem. I feel so lost in what's going on in my life. I feel so detached. I feel like there's a stone holding me down. At that moment, we have to think about that stone as the gemstone on a choshen, and realize that we also could take that stone that at this moment feels like it's so heavy, and we could carve it and shine it. And therefore, what's the remez l'davar? What's the lesson that the stone was on top of the name to say when it shines, the name will shine through? To show that underneath whatever difficulty we're going through, there's the names of Klal Yisrael, we have to understand, the names of our essence. The names of the Shvatim are who we deeply are. And through that shining stone, when we shine the stone, that's when you could see the names. That's when we could find out who we really are. That's how we could connect to our depth. And each and every one of you, when we think of that choshen, it's reminding us that even if we have a stone on top of us, we have a name underneath that can shine through. That's the lesson of the choshen. And we have to shine our stones. And we have to make ourselves shine. And know that it's within each and every one of us. But to know as well, achri pulosav bo machshavosav. It's very hard at times. But let's put this all together. Let's put both of these yesodas that we learned tonight together. Because we start off speaking about the effect of dress, of clothing on a person. And that's the shorish of the Bigdei Kehuna. But now we're talking about a lesson from one of the Bigdei Kehuna, maybe the most special of Begadim, in teaching us to remind ourselves, even when we feel that we're so down and out, that we could shine through. And that's why the stone is on top of the name, that the name could shine through that stone. If the name was on top, we think only when we feel on top and things are good am I close to Hashem. No, even when it's on the bottom, it could shine through. Don't ever forget that. But let's put it all together. Because sometimes when we're down and out, and sometimes when life is difficult, and sometimes when we don't feel so close to Hashem, we're davening, but we're davening to just like feel the change, and to wake up one morning and just feel that everything's going to be different. And hopefully it will be. Sometimes the Rabbanu gives us a big matana, and it happens that way. But we have to remember it's also within our control. And what does it mean it's within our control? Achri pulosav bo machshavosav. That's when we have to give even more to our avodas Hashem. That's when we have to learn a little bit more. That's when we have to do more acts of chesed. That's when we have to push ourselves to build a close relationship with Hashem, not just wait for it to come from Him. And in our relationships, we feel down and out in our relationships, whatever they might be. That's when we have to get up and do something about it. Not just sit back and hope that it happens. So continue on. And move on to the next relationship. To the next Simcha. And push ourselves and realize it will happen if achar pulosav v'machshavosav. If we dress the part, we'll start to feel the part. Because we all have it within us. We all could shine through those stones. Achar pulosav v'machshavosav. But I want to end with one idea, and that is to remember that if done in this way with these machshavas, it can add to tremendous growth. But realize our dress alone, is at the same time, with all that we said tonight, at the same time can be completely meaningless. What does that mean? Meaning if it's all just an act for others, then realize that has nothing to do with frumkeit. And that's sheker. What do I mean? Let me share a story, or two stories. There was a very special tzaddik, very, very special tzaddik, gadol, in the previous generation, his name was Mike Tress, Elimelech Tress. He did tremendous things for Klal Yisrael. Very big Klal guy. He was very close with all of the gedolim. One of the gedolim he was very close with, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, Satmar Rebbe, Zuchusel Yogin Eleno. Yoelish, Satmar Rebbe, that's all. Now, Mike Tress happened to be a clean-shaven man. And you know, by the Hasidim, having a beard is like a big thing. It's a big inyan to have a beard. So one time, some of the Hasidim, or one of the Hasidim came over to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I have to understand, I know you're so close with Mike Tress, and I know he does nice things for colleagues, but like, why you give him such kavod, such respect, such honor?
He doesn't even have a beard. He doesn't even have a beard. So the Rebbe said back to me, he said it in Yiddish, but I'm going to say it to you in English because none of us, including myself, understands Yiddish, so we'll say how it was. He says, Acher Mayav Esrim, it could be that Mike Tress is going to get the Shemayim, and the Abishter is going to look at Mike Tress and say, New Yid, my Heilige Yid, my Holy Jew, where's the beard? Where's your beard? Acher Mayav Esrim, you're going to get up to Shemayim. The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to say, beard, beard, where's the Yid? You hear? If it's all just an act, and it's all just an out, chitzonius dick activity, how I dress, and now I'm putting on a show for others, it's meaningless. It's not what Abish is looking for. I'll end with a similar story that I just read this week from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik HaShavrach. We have this chus, I'm sure many of us are daven all the time by the oil. The noted rabbi had come to the Rebbe for Yechidus before his eldest daughter was to be married. Forgive me for not mixing into your personal life, the Rebbe told him at the conclusion of the meeting, but I have a request for you. Let your beard grow. It's appropriate for a man of your position. See, it sounds like a little bit the opposite, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt it was important, it would help him. It was a chizik for him. The Rebbe added with a smile, it's appropriate for the new phase that will begin in your personal life. After all, soon you're going to become a Zaydi. You should look like a Zaydi. The rabbi happily agreed to the Rebbe's request and asked, perhaps I should also change my style of hat to that worn by the Rebbe? The Rebbe wore a particular style hat. He wore like a rounder hat, a more secular type of hat. Maybe I should wear a hat like the Rebbe. He says, no, the Rebbe replied with a wave of his hand. That's a superficial matter. I have followers who think that by putting on the same hat I do and having it dented exactly as I do, they'll establish a connection with Hashem and with me. That isn't the way. The way to establish a connection is to invest energy in the same areas which I invest my energy. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal was telling us, each and every one of us, that we have to understand that true avodas Hashem and true connection to Hashem is through the pnimius, is through the avoda that we through our davening, through our learning, through our maisim tovim. And it's not in how we dress. That's one in the same still. Don't think that's the opposite of what we're saying. That means if I'm dressing for others and I'm dressing to impress others, that's meaningless in avodas Hashem. But to recognize that my dress does have an effect on who I am. My dress does have an effect on how I think and how I act and how I'm going to be. That's something very, very real. So Bez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of us, as we read through these parashios of the building of Beis HaMikdash, of the Big Day Kahuna, so each and every one of us, we should be zoiche to really work on ourselves, to have a she'ifas for, first of all, Geula, for Mashiach, but to also pay heed to these lessons, to understand, like we learned from the Chayshen, that I always can shine through, even when I feel that a stone is in front of me. But I can't just wait for it to happen. I have to put in the work, I have to put in the actions. And understand as well, and really be thought out and think about how we dress, and how that affects who we are. To live the life that each and every one of us wants to live. You wouldn't be here tonight on a Matei Shabbos Kodesh if you weren't looking to be the best Eved Hashem you want to be. You wouldn't. Nobody would. Nobody's mechuyev to come to this year. Nobody's obligated to come to this year. This is not part of any level of schooling. This is not part of any... Even when, you know, you go to... You went. All of you went to seminary for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it was. So in your seminary, you already signed up for it. Your parents paid for it. You feel like you have to go. I mean, I'm hoping you grew tremendously from it and also did it lishma. But like, part of that was a little bit of an obligation, a little bit of responsibility. You couldn't not. When you come to shiurim like this, and a lot of Baruch Hashem, I know a lot of you go to many shiurim. This is not the only shiur, but you go to shiurim that's completely from your own time and completely at times that a lot of people look at as a good time to chill and have fun and whatever it might be. This is the fun you want. That means that's the Eved Hashem I want to be. If that's the Eved Hashem you want to be, it can't just be I'm going to shiurim and being inspired to hear them, that which is important. But it also has to turn into, as we started off by saying, Halo Kedvayeshno Hashem. It has to be a transformative experience. I have to then think about the lessons that I've learned and make changes in my life that would be best for me.
to live a life as an Eved Hashem, as a Baal Shir Shemayim, and ultimately you'll see, you'll develop a deep relationship with Hashem, and be b'simcha with who you are in the deepest of ways, and really deeply get to know yourself. Everyone should have a heilig, a beautiful week. I want Shabbos again. Halavai. Halavai. Should be. You know what? So the Rebbe Shalom made. You should know. We know sometimes the week is called Shabbos as well. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. We call by the Sfiris Omer. Because the avoda of life is to take Shabbos and pull it into the week. It should be Shabbos to go all week long, not in halacha, but in that relationship with Hashem. So halavai, it should be a good Shabbos to everybody. Bez Hashem is Baruch. That's what the Rebbe Shalom wanted me to say. And we'll continue Bez Hashem, the Karav Mamish. Have a wonderful week.